I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Midlife Mavericks. I'm your host, Allison Jacobson. So glad you are here today. If you're new to this, I want you to know that I am a coach, a podcaster, an author, and a speaker on everything midlife, how to get past your just self-doubt and concerns and apathy about moving forward to make your midlife the most amazing kick-ass time of your life. And on this podcast, I do solo episodes, and I have guests who've done just amazing things in the second chapter of their life and experts who can help us create an amazing second chapter. So if you could, I would love it if you could leave a review so that more women can find out about us. So one of the things I love about this podcast is I get to meet incredible women doing amazing things. And one of the things I am so passionate about is women getting recognized for the beauty of who they are in midlife. And I don't think that is recognized as much. And if you've listened to some of the past podcasts, we've talked about that. So I was so excited to meet Stephanie Odell, who is the founder of Celebrate the Gray. It is an agency for and about the 50 plus woman. They're a collective of models, influencers, and women age 50 plus who are changing the visuals and narrative for women as they age. Stephanie, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
This is just, it's such an important topic because I was talking about body image the other day with somebody, and we had somebody on in health and fitness. And I think that, you know, the idea of a full size plus size woman who's younger is getting more accepted, but there is still this thing about women who are 50 plus, and unless you're, you know, some celebrity, there's still this idea that we should be put out to pasture.
Yeah, for sure. And we buy into it, unfortunately. Yeah. So we're on this hunt to be younger, or we used to. I think there's a big change that's happening. But I think up until about 10 years ago, we were on this hunt to stay our 20-something self. And if we didn't, then we weren't deemed beautiful or visible in society.
Right. And I think the word visible is so important because it's not just our looks, right? It is in the workforce. It's in everything. We become, I mean, I even noticed it. It's a little funny. I went away with my daughters who are 18 and 21. And we went away and I found them saying, "Well, Mom, are you okay?" Like watching out for me. And I'm like,
"Oh, no.
Are you kidding me?" Like they all of a sudden thought they're taking on this role. I'm like, "Oh, hell no." Yeah. That is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So tell me about how and why you started Celebrate the Gray.
Well, it was a personal journey. I saw my mom being determining her aging based on my father's abilities. That was kind of one thing that was happened. The other, I was with my daughter and I have a 23-year-old daughter. And we were together and all of a sudden I saw the attention shifting. She was about 15 at the time. I saw the attention shifting from me to her by men, which I felt very uncomfortable around. Mm-hmm. And then I had been a stylist, fashion stylist for 15 plus years. And my older clients said to me, "I feel invisible and I feel like the fashion industry has forgotten me." And that was kind of the starting point. And I really thought I was going to start a fashion line for the 50 plus woman. Not that I didn't believe there was fashion there, but I knew that it wasn't being shown on women that were older. So it was very hard to visualize wearing it. So I started a blog called Celebrate the Gray with the goal to talk to 100 women and just find out what the reality of aging was. And I met these amazing women. I had friends and family that referred people to me. I went up to every woman that looked older than 50 in stores. My daughter got tired of, she goes, "I know, you got to go talk to that woman." I'm like, "Yeah, I'll be back." And I just realized that the visuals and narratives were served are outdated. We're living longer and healthier, and they haven't been updated. And a lot of times we live our lives based on someone else's aging journey. And what would happen if we saw visuals and narrative that represented positive aging and older women living vibrantly, would that change the way we aged? So that was kind of the starting point. And that's why I started Celebrate the Gray. I did try to find an agency to partner with because I met these amazing women that I said to myself, if I saw these women in advertising, I would think completely different about the brand, about my own personal aging journey. And I was told by the agencies, look, we've got our two older models and we're set. And it's not really a demographic brands are interested in. So that was like, what? I spend a lot of money. I buy for myself, my partner, my kids, my parents. I'm a loyal customer and a vocal customer. So that led me to open Celebrate the Gray and become a licensed agency.
And how, I mean, are you finding companies that are now shifting their perception of aging?
Yes. I have to say the change is being driven by those women 40 plus that are starting brands because they're fed up with not having solution to their problems. And those women understand the importance of age inclusion and representation, authentic representation, talking to the consumer, and also making sure their narrative and all their marketing channels represent aging in a positive way. And I say it's really a grassroots movement with the bigger brands, definitely having conversations, and they understand the importance of it, but they're just not quite there as far as believing that we are their consumer. They still believe younger people are their consumer. So I always say it's as much on us as it is on them, that if we continue to buy into those products that are anti-aging, we just reinforce that messaging to those decision makers that this is what she wants.
Right. Our money talks.
Yeah.
It really does.
Our money talks. It really does. And being vocal and visible about who you are, how old you are, and what you're doing starts rewriting. Oh, she's 60. I'm 61. I'm still a runner. Oh, she's still an athlete. You know what? We should represent her in our campaigns. But if we're not vocal and visible and putting ourselves out there, there's not that visual for those decision makers to even know that that's what's happening.
Well, and I think unfortunately it is still a little bit more of the exception. So my mom is 86 and she is still dancing. She is so vibrant. It's amazing. She has a great outlook and everybody looks at her and says, wow, I wish I could be like that. Almost aspirational. It's like, well, you can.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be considered as, you know, the exception, as I said. I mean, all right. Of us should be like that. So what's been your greatest challenge so far?
Well, greatest challenge for sure is getting brands to spend the dollars on doing campaigns, even spend the dollars on using older models. I see a lot of brands will all of a sudden start including casting calls for older models, but then they're not willing to pay them as much as their younger counterparts, or they will define the age range from 30 to 50. And I'll have a model reach out and say, well, it's only to 50 and I'm 60. I'm like, they don't understand what 50 looks like. Put your name in there. So perception and reality, I think, don't match. And then getting brands to actually spend the dollars, the real dollars that it takes and the length of time. Brands want an immediate return on investment of their dollars. And I will say, look, it's a 2-year commitment of including her for her to believe that you really understand who she is as a consumer.
Absolutely.
So those are the big challenges for us right now.
Yeah. And I think as consumers, we are more savvy to see when they're just paying something lip service or when they're really engaged and committed to it. Do you find that most of your models have been models even when they were younger and now are just, or are you finding just new women? And how do you find them?
Well, they find me. In the beginning, I put an ad in Craigslist looking for gray-haired models. And that's how I started. I still have a few of those women that started with me almost 5 years ago. And then I did a lot of outreach. And then mostly it's people reaching out to me now, unless I see somebody that really resonates, that really represents women in a different way than I've seen represented. And that may be race or size or gender, even, you know, looking at transgender models. And so I do reach out to a few people, but I also, if you're over 50 for the gray, for the modeling side, if you're over 50 gray or going gray and haven't had facial plastic surgery, you are can be cast into the modeling section. And people will say, well, she doesn't fit the typical model. She's not tall. She's not thin, whatever it may be. And I said, you're asking me to define what's beautiful to a brand. They may, you know, I'm not going to ever define what beautiful is. Everybody has a different image of beauty in their mind. And the more we see different people, the more that definition increases or broadens. You know, I built the influencer side of the business because many women weren't gray and wanted to be part of the collective. And then also have a private Facebook group that if you don't fall into either of those categories, you can belong to the collective where brands come in and tell us about why they founded the brand. And it gives women opportunity for their voice and opinion to matter. And they may join in that aspect. I always say it's a spectrum of opportunity. You may join just the collective. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I want to start an Instagram page and tell my story because it is, I think there's a woman out there that could, would resonate with. So then you may fall into the influencer space. And then, you know, I may get a call for models over 50 that aren't necessarily gray. I have a database of people. So I wanted to have a vehicle where women could join wherever they were in their aging journey.
I love that. And I think it's so important, especially on the influencer side, because you're not still seeing people that are necessarily older as those true traditional influencers. You know, people think of Kim Kardashian and people like that as influencers. And I think that just as you said, every woman has a story to tell, and that could be very powerful. But do you find women over 50 are a little bit challenged or a little bit hesitant about an influencer because they do, you know, maybe have a technical thought about Instagram or something like that?
I don't think, no, not so much. I think there's so many ways to gain education around that. There's YouTube, there's our kids are great people to ask for help. I think it's just exploring and having fun with it. And, you know, it may be your Facebook, you grow your Facebook or your Instagram, or you start playing around with TikTok. A number of the women have really gained a huge following on TikTok, and that might not even be your thing, right, which is fine too, but it's really empowering. Most of the women that have followings have younger women following them to get inspiration about what aging can look like, because they may not have people in their family that are inspiring or good role models. So there's a lot of that happening. So I wouldn't be afraid of Instagram or social media. I know a lot of people have a negative connotation to it, but it can also be an amazing way to build community. And even having a small following is very powerful if it's a very engaged following. And brands are looking for more direct connection with the consumer and a more cost-effective way to connect with the consumer. And social media is really the most powerful way to do that.
Well, and I agree with what you say, because that's why, so I have a Facebook group, Midlife Mavericks, that's very active, because you're right. There's a lot of women who don't have that support in real life. And I agree with you. I think social media can really be that catalyst to empower women and create that groundswell, like you're talking about, of strong, passionate women that brands can see and say, we're serious.
Yeah.
You're talking about dangers, which is interesting because, you know, clearly AI is not going to go away.
No.
And it's impacting a lot of different people and areas. So what's your thoughts around AI as it relates to aging and, you know, the images of aging online?
Currently, and I will admit that I need to do more education, but currently I'm very against AI because I think the images being created are based on outdated images. So you continue to perpetuate the outdated imagery of older women. And I can't tell you how often I've seen beautiful pictures, but they're not real. And people are like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. And like, she's not real. And you're taking jobs away from models and photographers. So the space is really, and then the reality, perception and reality really gets further and further away from where I believe it should be, more authentic. I mean, I think there's a great AI, there's so many powerful things and things that are great about AI. For me personally, gathering information, data, it's a great resource. But visually, I still really have a problem with it. And the photographers I work with still are not embracing it.
I'm sure. I mean, it's very hard for the average consumer to understand what's real, what's not. So I agree. I mean, I use it for starting content and then, you know, it gives me a jump, but you do have to go back in and do it. So unfortunately, it is still true that women feel, when they feel beautiful, they feel strong and empowered. And we'd love to think that it does start inside and go out. And I do. I think some of the most happy women are the most beautiful women out there, like my mom. But what are your thoughts about that in terms of, like, how can women feel more empowered as they age and embrace who they are as they are? Like, I love that you said no plastic surgery. I love that.
Well, it's hard when, if you live in a family or you have friends that don't support the vision you have for yourself. I always say, if you can't find that support with your immediate community, find a new community or expand your community. So looking to people like you to join different groups, looking at Pinterest, looking at Instagram to really get inspiration that's different than what you're being served currently. And looking for, you know, those connections and DMing people. If you're not on social media, I would encourage you to get on social media. And in my beginning of my work, I didn't know how to open a modeling agency. So I reached out to everyone I could find that was an older model. And it was such a supportive, collaborative part of my work that they were willing to tell me what they were making, what kind of contracts they were signing, what the modeling industry even looked like, how to navigate it. I expand your community if you're having a hard time.
So you learned from, what were you doing before this that you had to learn all of that? My gosh.
Well, I had been, you know, I had left my career and was raising our kids, and they kind of got to the point where they were more self-sufficient. And I really had that moment. It was in my late 40s of thinking about what was next. Cause I just felt like there was something more that I wanted to do and really not even having any concept of what was next. I mean, and that was a really scary stage to be at, to not know what you're passionate about or what you even wanted to do. So I got a part-time job at Athleta, and that was kind of the start of my journey. I found a love of helping women embrace their shape and understand their shape, and worked for Athleta. I worked for an online styling site. I had my own styling business, and I did that for about 10 years. And it was just kind of a side passion, but I just realized how powerful when we understand our shape and we can dress and feel confident and comfortable in our clothes, that can be such an amazing catalyst for change internally. And then that led to starting the blog because women were not feeling like they were visible. So
I love everything you said, and you described most of my clients to a T of, you know, reaching that part of your 40s and saying, what am I going to do? And I love that you said, I'm just going to do this. And it led step by step, because I always talk about, when you're not sure what you want to do, do something. Yeah. And all of a sudden it's going to guide you, but you got to get out there. And I love how, you know, your evolution into what you're doing now, because it's so much more than just the agency. It's really a movement. And I just love it. Absolutely love it.
Thank you. But I think we do that so often. We think about this big And when I tell my story, I always like to tell how it came, because somebody may look at me and go, I could never do that. Well, I'm right there with you, sister. I thought I could never do that. And I talked myself out of it for a good year. And then I finally said, I don't want to turn 60 and look back and go, God, I wish I would have just gone for it. What's the worst that can happen?
Yes. And it's funny, I was the guest on a podcast yesterday, and she always asks her guests one question that they always ask. And mine is, why not? Why not do something? Why not try that? And I think that's so important. The other thing that you mentioned too was that you didn't know how to go about this and you got that support. And, you know, I think so, women are so afraid because of imposter syndrome of admitting when they don't know something, rather than reaching out and asking those questions and getting that support and really embracing that, because we can learn from each other. We should learn from each other. And that vulnerability allows us to.
Right. And I think that's why it's so important to tell your story and kind of don't live in where I am now, because it took me a long time to get there and a lot of failure and a lot of self-doubt.
Yes.
But owning that self-doubt and getting out of my own way and asking for help was huge for me. And also having patience to believe that where I was right now was where I was supposed to be, and not trying to get to the end. I had so many people say to me, well, how are you going to monetize that? And how are you going to make money? Yeah. And I said, well, I don't know, but even if all I do is the blog and all I do is talk to women, I know every single time I leave one of those conversations, they say to me, you made my day. Thank you so much for saying something to me. So I knew that filled me up so much. If that's all I ever did, that was okay.
Exactly. You followed your passion and you created a dream. We're talking to Stephanie Odell, who is the founder of Celebrate the Gray. So what is next for Celebrate the Gray?
Oh, well, it's exciting. You know, everything we've done, again, when we're talking about trying things and not knowing what's going to work, you know, we've been working really hard. I should say I and the collective have been working really hard this last year, trying to figure out what's the right combination of things to work with brands. We did influencer work, we've done ambassador work. So influencer work, where they hire a single individual or a couple individuals to make posts for their products. After they've tried them, we vet every product. We don't just market products to market products. We make sure it works for the consumer. And then we, you know, always trying to think about creating revenue stream for the models and for Celebrate the Gray, and to give value to a brand. Then we pivoted into doing more ambassador work, where the collective women got to meet the founders, try the product, find out if it was a good fit for them, and then create content for the brand. And now, so we've done those. There've been some success, not as much success as we'd like, because I think it's really hard to find the 50 plus consumer and get her to engage and actually purchase. It's a long process. So we're pivoting and doing more work now in user-generated content. So allowing the women to create content. We have a site that I partner with a couple of photographers called Senior Stock Photography, where the women can actually create revenue streams for themselves. And now we're working with brands that they can direct the content, so they can send product to the collective, that women that want to participate, and be directed of what kind of content they want. So those women will get paid to do that. So trying to find value, where's the value for the brand? Where's the comfort point for the women that are part of the collective that are doing this? So doing more of that work, doing a lot more casting with bigger brands. We had an Amazon, a couple of gals participate in Amazon, Google, Zendesk, Milk. So, you know, things are definitely happening. It's me having more connections with casting people and making them aware. As soon as they find out about Celebrate the Gray, they're like, oh my God, thank God there's someone like you, because we're looking for real women to represent the 50 plus woman. I mean, brands are getting much better about storytelling. They want real people. Like if they're casting a cancer medicine, they want someone that's gone through cancer so that it's a real person. Or if it's somebody that's a weight loss story, they really want somebody that's gone through a weight loss. So I am applauding brands for really being more authentic in their storytelling. So just getting more the word out there, more about Celebrate the Gray and who we are, and getting those casting people to find us.
That is amazing. And so tell our audience, how do we reach out to you? Where do we find you?
So Celebrate the Gray is Celebrate the Gray with an A. We have a website. If someone's interested in modeling or being an influencer, they can fill out a form, an application on the website that gets sent to us. Or if they're interested, maybe they don't fall into the modeling. Some women have modeled before. Some women have never modeled, but just feel super passionate about their aging and want to share that with other women. Excuse me. Or they can join the collective. And that is a private Facebook group, Celebrate the Gray Collective. And that allows you to meet the other women, hear about what's happening in the aging journey as far as advertising and marketing. We do a lot of webinars and seminars that are all recorded and live in that space. So there's a number of different ways to get involved if they're interested in being part of Celebrate the Gray.
Well, I am definitely going to go to that Facebook. I think it's absolutely amazing what you're doing, and everybody needs to come together. And like you said, make it a stronger movement for women over 50. Stephanie, thanks so much for joining me today. I would ask you to leave us with just one bit of advice for women in midlife.
Get out of your own way and don't listen to those voices inside your head. You can, you know, anything is possible. Give yourself permission to think about it as a possibility.
Yes. Yes. Stephanie, thank you so much. Everybody have a great rest of your day, and I will see you soon. Bye now.
Thank you.